tonight on Blackhawks Live.
Anders Sorensen, head coach of the Rockford Icehawks.
I thought in this third period here, I thought we'd play a lot better.
Great atmosphere, actually. I think that got the guys fired up for sure.
The second effort, the third effort was really good.
Battling a lot so that they are ready for those situations in the game. As the game went on, we got better. It's almost more fun to win, right?
Join Charlie Romiliotis.
He talks about hockey, and I have very strong opinions about minor league professional hockey, as we all do.
As he dives into what's next for the Hawks.
What are we talking about here?
How about hockey?
Hockey!
Here's Charlie.
Wow, winning.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Romiliotis here on 720 WGN. I got my guy, Jack Heinrich, riding shotgun with me. What's up, Jack?
Nothing. Great day out today.
Another beautiful day. We did this last week, and it was mid-60s. We felt like we should be golfing, and then today I went outside, and I was short sleeves, shorts. I mean, I thought it was like 30-degree weather a couple days ago. So
that's Chicago.
Yeah. Beautiful day outside. We got a fun show planned today. We're going to have Rockford IceHogs head coach Anders Sorensen joining us around 7:35. He got his own highlight package there at the top of the show, a little teaser for Anders. So I'm excited to catch up with him. They had a weekend stint in Manitoba. We're going to ask him how some of the young guys in Rockford are progressing early on through five games. We're also going to get to our Hawks Click poll question, which is on WGNradio.com. Ryan Donato currently leads the Blackhawks with 5 goals. His career high is 16. How many will he finish with this season? Go to our online website and vote, and we will reveal the answers on the next segment of the show. Let's talk about the big Blackhawks win against Colorado last night. I mean, huge 2 points for the Blackhawks, given what they had been through the last 4 games, where they struggled to put together some 60-minute efforts. The scripts have been a little different. It's been a poor start, not a strong finish. It's been strong starts, not great finishes. I can look at the Nashville game on Friday at the United Center. Hawks put together a really good first 30 minutes, and it was the second 30 that they squandered the 2-goal lead and couldn't hold the fort down. It was nice to see the Blackhawks, Jack, the other night get out to a big lead against Colorado, scoring 3 goals in the first period, and then not giving up another goal in the final 40 minutes against a very good Colorado Avalanche team.
Yeah, I mean, that's just something that it's kind of been a theme the last 2 years, is they've had good moments but not a full good game. And I mean, the third period, I mean, they're kind of surviving there until they got the empty netters, but I mean, that's what you got to do on the road. And I mean, that's a good team. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised with their effort, because I mean, the last few years in Colorado has just been so bad for them, but that could be a big win. And now for me, I really want to see how they respond, like how they keep going, because they've had good moments the past few years and then it's kind of gone flat. But yeah, I mean, a lot of positives to pull from that game and putting it all together, which has kind of been the theme of what they've been trying to do, or that it feels like in being in the locker room, you always say like, well, like players would just be like, we have 10-minute lapses or 5-minute lapses and it costs us the game, and they finally were able to put one together. So hopefully that could be confidence moving forward.
Right. I think last year there were a lot of lapses in the Blackhawks play where, man, we saw it. Actually, it was a little bit in the Colorado game where the Hawks, did they go up? Was it 2-0 I think they went up 1-0. Colorado strikes quickly to make it 1-1, and then the Hawks responded quickly to go back up 2-1. And those quick strikes are something that was a bit of a bad habit for the Blackhawks last year, where they would go up or they would score a goal that was kind of a confidence building goal, potentially momentum swinging, and then the next shift or two the opponent would score right back, and it would just deflate the sails out of the Blackhawks. So it was nice to see them kind of turn the table on Colorado last night. You know, looking at the numbers, it's funny because the Hawks scored 5 goals. Granted, 2 of them were empty netters, so I want to put a caveat on there, but they scored 5 goals, and Connor Bedard and Teuvo Teravainen were held off the score sheet completely, and Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, the three-headed monster for Colorado, they all finished -4 rating. Now, I don't like plus minus. I think it could be a little bit skewed, because the -4, like 2 of those minuses were from the empty netters. So it's, right, you know, whatever. It's, you can't read too much into it. But like, truly, I don't think Makar McKinnon and Rantanen are going to have a minus four game at any point the rest of the season. Like, it was pretty, it was a great recipe for the Blackhawks to contain those, the big three of Colorado, and then for them to find ways to score outside of Bedard and Teravainen was encouraging to see if you're a Chicago fan.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the question, is who can step up, and I think that can give them confidence going forward. Like, hey, we don't need to, I mean, they're obviously going to be a big part of it, Bedard and Teravainen, but it'd be like, hey, we can win when they don't are on the stat sheet or whatnot.
Right.
So I think that can help. I mean, it is a veteran group, but there's still some young pieces and they're still trying to figure it out. But yeah, that's a big win, especially on that going into another team's building and doing that. And it's a tough start to the road trip too, like with Dallas, and not easy going already back out west after they're out west. So hopefully they can keep it going, and that's something they can build off of. And especially the bottom six, it's kind of been like mismatched how Luke Richardson's trying to figure it out. He likes the four lines he had, but he's trying to figure out the combination still. But hopefully that's something that can stick.
Yeah, I think Luke is trying to slot everyone in their proper roles. Connor Bedard and Teuvo Teravainen, mm-hmm. they're going to be fixtures on that first line. Jason Dickinson is as good of a shutdown center in the NHL as there is right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that as an over-exaggeration. Like, I put out the... I was doing my Selke trophy voting last year in April and really kind of crunching the numbers, doing my research, and I was looking at Jason Dickinson. I'm like, when he's on the ice at 5-on-5, this was last season, the Hawks had a +9 goal differential. When he wasn't on the ice, it was a -94 goal differential.
Holy cow.
It's an 103 goal difference when Dickinson was on the ice versus when he was off the ice. I mean, that is a remarkable stat. And he was he played a huge part in the win last night, containing McKinnon's line that has Rantanen on it as well. So you're seeing Luke try to find these right combinations where he doesn't want to move Dickinson higher in the lineup because he's a perfect shutdown center. Bedard and Teravainen are perfect complementing each other on the first line. That second line with Taylor Hall and Tyler Bertuzzi have been okay, not great, but they're trying to find that second line center. And Philip Kurashev was in that spot pretty much all season long outside of the healthy scratch against Vancouver. And he gets moved to the first line with Bedard and Teravainen. And I thought that was a great move because you need to get Kurashev jump-started in some way. But it was also one of those moves that you want Connor Bedard and Teuvo Teravainen to have a compliment, right? And also Nick Foligno, he slots into the second line center role. That guy, he was winning 60% of his faceoffs yeah. going into last night's game. And so the only downside with the Kurashev, Bedard, Teravainen line, I love it on paper. I think it was the right move to put the three of them together. The problem is Bedard and Kurashev last night collectively went 0-for-10 in the faceoffs
right.
department. So they were basically chasing most of at the beginning of the shift. They were chasing most of the game. And that's probably maybe a reason why they didn't generate as much offense as some of the other lines against Colorado. So if there is a doubt, because when Foligno was on that line, they would just put him out for the faceoffs. They would win it, and then Connor would have the puck. But Connor has really struggled at the faceoff yeah. department. And Kurashev going into that game was 49%, so not great, but not terrible. But it's not great enough if you have a guy like Bedard on your line and you want to get him the puck as much as possible. So we'll see how that shakes out. Kurashev, it was the first time all season Bedard and Kurashev have been on a line together. And I looked this up last year. Kurashev and Bedard in all situations, they played nearly 1,000 minutes together.
Wow.
So it's nice. It's nice that Kurashev is going to finally feel like in some sort of comfort zone where he can play his game again. Because last year he was on the wing, he was on the first line playing first power play unit, and this year poor Philip comes to training camp and they're like, we need you at second line center. So he's going from wing to center. He's not playing on Bedard's line where he developed chemistry with him last year. And oh, by the way, he's also on the second power
yeah,
play
no
unit,
power
so he's
play.
Not so his ice time really diminished. So credit to Kurashev for having a good attitude about it and good mindset, but hopefully this jumps start him playing with Bedard again. And it kind of showed a little bit last night where he finally gets a power play goal.
Yeah, I mean, you want anything to help get him going, and that second line center, I mean, it's going to be big for the rebuild too. Like, you need to figure that out. I mean, the Hawks have drafted a bunch of them, and some of them are in Rockford, like Frank Dazar is down there as well. So maybe that future one's not here yet, but for this year, I mean, that's been the big question. And yeah, it's a good point about the faceoffs, because that top line, I remember you and Troy were talking about it yesterday. It's like they just can't win one. And that's something Bedard's, one of the few knocks on his game is he's still struggling with that, but he's still a very young player. But that is tough when you're not winning those draws, and then you're going over on the defensive side when you want them on the offensive zone.
If that's Connor Bedard's biggest deficiency, I think the Blackhawks will be able to live with it. Because even I watch Edmonton a lot, just McDavid is such a special player, but even he's not a great faceoff guy. Mm-hmm. And so when he's on a line with, whether it's Draisaitl or Nugent Hopkins, they're the ones taking the faceoffs, not McDavid. So, you know,
you can figure it out.
You can also, if you figure it out, or like I remember when the Hawks were winning Stanley Cups, they had Patrick Sharp. Like, he would sometimes take the faceoffs and then go back to his normal position of wing. So you can find a way that if you have all these young players in the prospect that are developing as centers, but maybe they'll be better suited on the wing in the NHL, at least they have the experience of winning faceoffs or of taking faceoffs. And maybe you find a scenario where, you know, hypothetically, let's say Oliver Moore comes in a couple years and you want to move him to the wing. Well, at least he's played center in college and whatever in the junior or in the ranks before that. So he's not, it's not foreign to him, where maybe you can throw him out there in the faceoffs and get something generated. Really quick, Lucas Reichel too. Feel like he's been skating with more confidence lately.
A lot more.
Healthy scratch the first four games. We've obviously documented that. Disappointing for him, but the difference I see from Reichel in handling the healthy scratches this year versus last year is his shoulders aren't drooped. Mm-hmm. His confidence isn't shot. He's still skating with confidence. He looks like he's at least trying to make plays and drive offense. And I remember, I think it was last training camp, Reichel came in and said, I want to be a little bit more selfish with the puck and shooting more. And he couldn't quite get there because he's a playmaker at heart. So he wants to create plays and wants to set up teammates. But at some point, Reichel did need to develop some sort of, hey, just take ownership and start shooting the puck more. And I think we're seeing a little bit more. And Luke Richardson is starting to reward him a little bit more with ice time, where I know he's still skating on the first line, but now he's moved to the second power play unit. And then in the Nashville game the other night, he started getting reps with Connor Bedard after a penalty kill. So it was slowly but surely they were giving him a little bit more. I was surprised to see, I think he only took three shifts in the second period last night. So I think that was a little surprising. Mm-hmm. But over time, if Reichel continues to play the way he's been playing the last few games, I think he's trending in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just watching, you notice him more. And last year, there'd be times he'd be out there and you're just like, you don't even know he's out there. So that's the big thing for me. He looks a little quicker and he's just kind of like not thinking as much. Last year, I think he thought too much and then he was making mistakes. But yeah, he looks a lot quicker, more confident. And that's, and I mean, hopefully, I mean, he's a guy that a lot of people were excited about when he made his debut a few years ago. And it's been a winding road kind of to get here, but hopefully he's developing into the right direction, because if they could figure him out and what his role is, that'd be a big boost for them.
For sure. All right, let's take a quick break. We got more to get to on Blackhawks Live, including Rockford IceHogs head coach Anders Sorensen, who's going to join us around 7:35, so stay tuned for that. You're listening to 720 WGN. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Romeliotis here in our downtown WGN radio studio. Hey, on Wednesday, November 6th, from 4:30 to 6:30, head to the Barn Hockey Bar, the Barn Hockey Bar near the United Center, and join me and Kevin Powell for a special live sports broadcast. We're going to take you up to the pregame show starting at 7:30, followed by the call between the Blackhawks and Red Wings right here on WGN Radio at 7. Our live broadcast at the Barn Hockey Bar on November 6th is sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be, and El Bandito Yankee Tequila. Break out the Bandito. Find more details at WGNradio.com/events. So we have a Hawks Click poll on our WGN Radio website, and it's about Ryan Donato, who scored twice last night. One empty netter, but he had actually 3 points. He had 2 goals and an assist. One of the goals was an empty netter, and he also had an assist, which is on Ilya Mikheyev's empty netter. But through their first 10 games, Ryan Donato currently leads the Blackhawks with 5 goals. His career high is 16. How many will he finish the season with? So we had four options: 12 or fewer, 13 to 18, 19 to 24, or 25 or more. I'll hand it over to you, Jack, before I give my answer and reveal the poll results.
I did 12 or fewer. I just think him being...
pessimist.
I know.
No, I'm kidding.
I know. Being a hater. But for me, just him playing in the bottom six, and he has been scratched a few times this year, I think it could be tougher. I mean, I'm hoping it's higher than 12, maybe like 13 or 14 or something like that. But I think something like that will be where he ends up. Just based on those reasons, I think that's kind of where he's trending.
So I'm at between 13 and 18. So I guess I'm in the tier just above you. So I'm not too high.
I'm the hater.
Yeah, but you're the hater, not me. The reason I similar reasons, it's hard to score 20 plus goals in the NHL if you're not getting either power play time or just playing top 9 minutes consistently. And so I think Donato is off to a fantastic start. But if he's not on either of the two power play units, and he could, I guess, find his way on maybe the second unit at some point, just because he is a good net front guy. And if the Hawks are looking for a spark, they can resort to it. But I think between 13 and 18 feels like a good number for a guy that's off to a hot start. But if we're strictly going based off what his role is going to be moving forward, which is more of a fourth line, maybe third line pinch hitting spot start without any power play time, I think 13 to 18 feels like the sweet spot. But I wouldn't be surprised if, I don't know, if he shatters my expectations, because he is doing all the right things and he's getting rewarded for it.
Yeah, he's a very solid player too. So someone Luke Richardson can trust. And yeah, I mean, he could get more out. You never know how injuries shake out and if he's got to play more. So, off to a great start, which is great for the Hawks.
Forgot to reveal the results. I almost did that my first show. So 12 or fewer, it was 25%. That came in second. Between 29 and 24 was 25%. So that's tied for second. And then 25 or more, 17%. So the winner was between 13 and 18, which is at 33%. So it was a pretty divided poll. They're pretty evenly split. There wasn't really a consensus on where he's going to finish. So that's, I guess, encouraging. I mean, I guess you can go anywhere, really. Yeah,
good question.
Good question. Who came up? No, I'm kidding. the poll results. All right. Rockford IceHogs head coach Anders Sorensen is going to join us next on Blackhawks Live. Looking forward to catching up with him. You're listening to Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Romeliotis here on 720 WGN in our downtown Chicago studio. We got a special guest with us, joining us from Rockford, the Ice Hogs head coach, Anders Sorensen. Anders, what's going on, man?
Well, not much, Charlie. Just watching some hockey on TV.
I love it. Living the dream, like all of us. Good to be back in the swing of things?
Yeah. It's nice to kind of get going here, get games under our belts, and, get some practice time as well.
Feels like a lot of eyes are going to be on Rockford this season, specifically with Blackhawks fans interested in how all the prospects are going to be doing now that they're starting to graduate to the pro level. Deeper pool for you, like more toys to play with, for you. Is that exciting as a head coach as you try to mold the next Blackhawks or help mold the Blackhawks prospects?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I think the guys have, that you referred to are really energetic guys. They want to get better and they're eager to work every day. So it makes our life as a staff more enjoyable for sure. But really enjoyed it so far.
Do you feel any, I don't know if pressure is the right word, because I know you are excited to have these prospects like Levshinov and Nazar and Korchinski, but do you feel a sense of like, okay, I got to make sure that I'm really working with these players, and because they're going to, hopefully for Chicago, they're going to play a big part of the next great Blackhawks team. Do you feel a sense of pressure, or is that excitement, responsibility? How would you characterize it?
Yeah, I think it's more excitement. I think that's the right word to use. I think we have a great staff of coaches, but also development coaches that are around daily with these players. So we're making sure that they're getting enough feedback or you know, sometimes not too much feedback. They got to be able to play and play freely as well. But I think it's definitely more excitement than anything. And I think in the end of the day, we're here to help them and guide them through their journey and their career. And they all have their own career paths and different paths. And some things work, you know, for certain guys, and some things won't work with the other guys. So I think just finding that kind of how those individuals will learn and improve is the key thing for us as a staff.
Obviously, the priority for you in Rockford is to make sure that these prospects are developing. How do you balance that while also trying to instill a winning culture? Because you don't want the guys like Nazar and Korchinskis and Levshinov to be playing there and playing meaningful minutes, but you also want them to be playing meaningful hockey as well. So how do you balance that as a coach?
Yeah, great question. That's something we talk about, right? And I think that, you know, you can marry the two, the development and winning, for sure. I think there is a marriage there. But, you know, I think that surrounding them with the right veteran players that I think we have this year, and I think just being, you know, competitive in practice every day, and, you know, just teaching them to grow up in, you know, so to speak, in a environment where they're competing every day, I think will help. But yeah, it's definitely a puzzle you try to solve, you know, throughout the year, for sure.
Last year it was probably a challenge for you as a coach because of all the injuries that were being dealt with by the Blackhawks, where it felt like a lot of the guys that were in Rockford got moved up to the NHL level, and you guys dealt with injuries of your own down there. How crazy was last year? Had you ever been a part of something like that? And how hopeful are you this season where you can withstand some of those with the depth that you do have now?
Yeah, it definitely was an extreme year in that aspect of it. You know, in the American League, I think there is always going to be that, you're going to have a rotating roster of guys for sure. You know, with call-ups and injuries, but last year was extreme. To your point, the player pool that we have as an organization is deeper now. There's more options. So, you know, hopefully everybody stays healthy here. But realistically, there is probably going to be injuries. And I think we're seeing it already a little bit. I think the pool of player is deeper. So it's going to be, we have a little bit more to choose from for sure.
So Artem Levshinov, number 2 overall pick for the Blackhawks, made his pro debut over the weekend in Manitoba. He recorded an assist in one of the games. What did you think of him overall? I know small sample size and just getting his feet wet at the pro hockey level, but what did you think of his game and his potential moving forward?
Yeah, exciting, right? You can see the ceiling and the potential is super high there. And some of his attributes that he has to his game naturally is, you know, they're going to transfer well to the NHL, I believe. And, you know, he's got, just like all the young players, have some stuff to work on, but just some of those attributes are really impressive to watch for such a young player. So just making sure that we're keep encouraging him to play his game and try to work on a little bit other parts of his game as well.
I know the biggest transition for him going from college to the pro level is just the amount of games he's going to play, you know, because in college you basically play half a season of AHL or NHL time. What other things is Levshinov going to, as a guy getting transitioned to the pro game, what other adjustments is he going to have to be prepared for, and how are you going to help him in that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime that you're coming into pro, your first year as a pro, it's the stuff off the ice as well, you know, taking care of yourself, the cooking, and, you know, making sure you're keeping up, you know, all that. But, you know, I think to your point, the schedule is, the game load is heavier, so making sure you're taking care of your body, but also the travel is a little bit more expensive, obviously, than college. We haven't had a lot of games yet, but once we get into the meat of our season, then I think that's something we're going to talk to him about. And, you know, but he's a hard worker. He's at the rink. He loves being at the rink. He loves working on his game. And, you know, I think that we have a staff around him that can help him. If it's, you know, myself, or you have Brian Campbell that comes around, you have Chris Kunitz, Mark Eaton. These are guys that have played in the NHL for a long time and kind of been through it themselves. So they're there to help him as well and guide him, and I think that's a big part of his development.
He's got an infectious personality, too. Like, I don't think I've ever seen him frowning.
No. He's great. He's got a smile on his face, and he comes to the rink every day. He's got a smile on his face, and he's ready to work.
I know the other defenseman Blackhawks fans are wanting to see how he develops this season is Korchinski. He obviously had a tough year last year. It was a weird time for him where he was ineligible for the AHL, but he was too good for juniors, so the Hawks tried to work with him in the NHL, and obviously the sudden passing of his dad, you throw that in there too, and mentally it was probably a lot for him. How much do you think he's going to benefit from playing in the AHL, however long it is this season, just away from the spotlight to kind of hone his craft and then get back to the Blackhawks feeling like a better version of himself?
Yeah, I think it's a, you know, for him, development, that part of it's going to be huge for him. I think it helps him that, you know, he has teammates here in Rockford that he's played with, if it's in Seattle or in the World Juniors, and he's got players that are his age that he can hang out with, and I think just settling in and get to play his game, get to play a lot of minutes, learn how to play a lot of minutes when, you know, maybe you're tired and you know how to be a little bit more efficient in your game, and, you know, he's such a dynamic skater, and we want him to utilize that, but we also want him to learn how to play an efficient game when you're playing that big of a minute. And I think it's really important for young players, and it seems like especially defensemen, especially to come. NHL is a hard league to come into and then learn on the fly, so to speak. And you know, I think this will be a really good situation for him. And you know, we're going to do our best every day to make sure that he's developing, but also, you know, get to know him as a person has been a lot of fun so far.
I think that dynamic skating was on full display. Was it the first game of the season where he had that end-to-end rush on the power play? That you were probably sitting on the bench like, oh yeah, that's the guy. That I know that guy.
Yeah. That's exactly how we drew it up, right? Let's do that. He's fun to watch. He's really light on his feet. And, you know, he can really take off. And, you know, I think that, you know, what's impressed me with him, though, is just, again, his work ethic. He wants feedback. You can give him a little bit of a constructive criticism or constructive feedback, and he takes it the right way, and he tries to implement it, you know, if it's next practice or next game. And those are encouraging signs of a young player.
How about Frank Nazar? Chicago got a glimpse of him at the end of last season. He was coming off the finish at Michigan and was kind of towards the tail end of the hockey season for him, so he was kind of winding things down. But what have you seen from him early on? He obviously leads is tied for the team lead right now in points.
Yeah, another really good skater, right? Very dynamic on his feet. I think that, again, as I got to know him and talked to him, he's a very smart hockey, not just player, but he's a hockey junkie. It seems like he watches a lot of hockey, and you talk to him about situations, and he remembers situations from, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago in certain games. And, you know, I've been really impressed with him, just sitting with him and kind of getting his thoughts on certain things that happens in the game, and very mature and, you know, seems to really understand the game real well. And obviously on the ice, we've seen that. And for him, it's going to be, you know, just, again, learning to play the pro game and be consistent. But he's another player that, you know, we've taught him about certain things, and he's adapted and implemented them in his game fairly quickly here, which is, again, it's very encouraging.
He has such a calm demeanor, too, even when you talk to him in the media or you see him on the ice. Like, he never looks scrambly. He always looks like he's in control.
Yes. He loves his fishing too off the ice, and you can tell. No, he's you know, it's funny. He's him and I were doing some video the other day, and I asked him kind of what he thought of the situation and what happened here, and he actually pointed out some things that I hadn't even seen watching the game or watching the clip that I didn't even notice. And I was like, oh, okay, wow. And so you can tell that not just when he's on the ice, but even when he's off the ice, he analyzes and looks at situations and can dissect them. Really well for a young man.
That part is a really underrated part about a hockey player too, having that high hockey IQ, because you can have all the skill in the world, but if you can't think the game on a high level or just at on a regular level, it's really hard to play with some of the upper echelon guys like Bedard and, you know, whoever, because they're thinking it at a pace where they're already thinking about the next play.
Exactly. Yeah.
Last one for you. How much have you grown in this role since getting the job? I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of ways, but how you reflect on the last few years. What can you say?
Yeah, you know, it's been a fun journey. I feel like I learn things, you know, on a daily basis almost, right? I think, you know, I'm kind of curious by nature, and I think that, you know, again, the staff that we have around in the organization and wealth of knowledge, if it's from Luke and his staff or the player development that we have, and just, you know, I enjoy talking hockey and picking brains of people and getting different ideas, and I think that's something you learn every day. But, you know, it's just learning too to kind of find my, you know, how I am as a coach and what I value. And I think those things are important when you're coaching. And I think that the more and more I do this, I think I'm getting better at that. But and then even talking to players, right? I think players, there's certain players that, you know, have been around and know different things. You know, they've seen different things. So just picking their brain, I think it's a lot of fun. And I think that's how you grow as a, both as a coach and a player, right?
Right. Awesome. Thank you so much for doing this, Anders. Hopefully we'll chat down the road. But good luck the rest of the season. And, I'm sure we'll talk down the road.
Okay. Thanks, Charlie. Thanks for your time.
All right. Awesome. We got one more break to get to here on Blackhawks Live. You're listening to 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, let's get to some NHL storylines that I've been following. Two teams have been standing out to me. One, the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are currently in a game against the Minnesota Wild right now. Marc-Andre Fleury's return to Pittsburgh, and the Detroit Red Wings. Feels like Pittsburgh is off to a tough start. They're 3-6-1 going into tonight, minus 13 goal differential. Tristan Jarry, their starting goaltender, he got sent home from the recent road trip to work on his game. Malkin, he had 11 points in his first five games. He has a four-game point drought, or he had a four-game point drought after that, and then he had a three-point net versus Vancouver on Saturday. Sidney Crosby's had a quiet start, 7 points in 10 games. Michael Bunting's been a little disappointing. He was a healthy scratch earlier a couple games ago, so he has 1.9 games. Erik Karlsson has had a tough start. Brian Rust, lower body injury. So Pittsburgh's been, they've had a tough start to the season. And then Detroit, while their record looks respectable, they're 4-4-1, minus three goal differential, their underlying numbers are not very good. They beat the Islanders last week 1-0. They only generated 10 shots on goal in that game. Patrick Kane actually scored the lone goal in that one. They also beat Nashville 5-2, but they were outshot 39-22. In the game. So I look at those two teams, Pittsburgh and Detroit, and we always get those odds from odds makers. Like, it's like, who's going to be the first coach to be fired? First NHL coach to be fired. And it feels like if neither of these two teams kind of gets on track, there's a stat out there that it's like, if you're out of the playoffs by, I think it might be American Thanksgiving, or it might be November 1st. It's one of the two. It's like, it's really hard to overcome the tough start. So if we get into November and Pittsburgh and Detroit are still kind of spiraling a little bit, or they don't turn things around, I wouldn't be surprised if one of those or potentially both end up being the first casualty of the NHL season.
Yeah, and last year we saw a bunch of coaches get fired, and a lot of those teams actually had a positive bump. I mean, Edmonton fired their coach, they went all the way to the final. So, yeah, these are two, I mean, especially for me thinking about Detroit, that's a team that's kind of been trendy the last few years with some of the additions they made. I mean, Patrick Kane coming over, but they've struggled a little bit. And, I mean, last year it seemed like they were going to go to the playoffs, and then they barely missed it. And then this year they're struggling out of the gate, so there's probably a little apprehension around there. So, yeah, definitely the coach could be in Detroit could be like the first move just to try to shake something up. But
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
It feels like Detroit too lost a lot of identity pieces from last year. They let David Perron walk. They moved on from Shane Gostisbehere and Daniel Sprong. They traded Jake Walman, who's a personality type guy. Yeah. Every time he scored an overtime winner, he would do the gritty. Yeah, the gritty. Yeah. The Justin Jefferson, and then Robbie Fabry. They traded him, and he was a little bit part of the fabric of that culture over the last, I think it was 4 years. So yeah, Detroit's. And even Patrick Kane, he's had a slow start. And and Patrick Kane is actually a historically slow starter. His numbers in October are always really, they're not too impressive. It's November where he totally turns it up, where his stats in November are insane. He had 1 point in his first four games, but now he has 6 points in his last five. So Kane is slowly starting to heat up, but we'll see. Something, two situations to monitor in Pittsburgh and Detroit. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live. Charlie Romeliotis here. Thanks for hanging out with us. Blackhawks versus Sharks on Thursday at the United Center. I'm sorry, not at the United Center, in San Jose. Pregame show starts at 9 right here on 720 WGN. We'll talk to you then.